Ah, welcome to Movie Magic.
We would be honored if you would join us.
5, 6, 8.
5, 1,000, 4, 1,000, 3, 1,000.
I am the father.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Are you one of those single-tier people?
All the dogs in King's Landing howl through the night.
They cry out for their true queen.
I'm Batman.
Name's Bond. James Bond.
One of them leads to the castle at the center of the labyrinth, and the other one leads to certain death.
Go ahead. Make my day.
He sounds like quite a man.
A passenger has died on the train.
Who gave the order to kill me?
Movie Magic with Colin Gomez, Money FM, 89.3.
Commence primary ignition.
If you were wondering why I did a feature on some of the best war movies on the National Day weekend, well, what was on display at the parade? Our military personnel, our civil defense, tanks, armored trucks, naval ships, coast guards, paratroopers, and the awesome Top Gun view from our jet fighters that flew past every major hospital in Singapore, paying tribute and gratitude to our frontline workers. So, if there was a war, and God forbid, we not only have the personnel to defend our tiny island, but we do have the firepower to do so. Today on Movie Magic, I'd like to continue from where I left off last week. I ended the show with an instrumental piece from the movie The Deer Hunter, and I had a few people that listened to the show asking me where that piece came from. I'll play that for you if you missed it last week a little later on. The Deer Hunter is an epic war drama film co-written and directed by Michael Cimino about three steel workers whose lives were changed forever after fighting in the Vietnam War. The three soldiers are played by Robert De Niro, Christopher Walken, and John Savage. The film was based in part of an unproduced screenplay called The Man Who Came to Play by Louis Garfinkel and Quinn Redecker about Las Vegas and Russian roulette. Producer Michael Dealey, who bought the script, hired writer-director Michael Cimino, who, together with Derek Washburn, rewrote the script, taking the Russian roulette element and placing it in the Vietnam War. The film went over budget and over schedule and ended up costing $15 million. Back then, it was big money. Now, the Russian roulette scenes were actually quite disturbing. I remember watching this with my classmates when I was in secondary school, and boy, did those scenes have an effect on some of us. Now, although the film went over budget, it was successful at the box office, grossing $49 million. Again, big money back then. At the 51st Academy Awards, it was nominated for 9 Academy Awards and won 5. Best Picture, Best Director for Cimino, Best Supporting Actor for Walken, Best Sound, and Best Film Editing. Oh, I forgot to mention, Meryl Streep was a supporting actress as well, and the film marked Meryl Streep's first Academy Award nomination for Best Supporting Actress.
Movie Magic with Colin Gomez, Money FM, 89.3.
The Bridge Over the River Kwai opens in a Japanese prisoner of war camp in Burma in 1943, where camp commander Colonel Saito, played by Sesu Hakayawa, and newly arrived British Colonel Nicholson, played by Sir Alec Guinness. Yes, Obi-Wan Kenobi. And they battle against each other with words. Saito insists that Nicholson order his men to build a bridge over the River Kwai, which will be used to transport the Japanese. Nicholson refuses, despite all the various persuasive ways Saito threw at Nicholson. Finally, he agrees, not so much to cooperate with his captor, but to provide a morale-boosting project for the military engineers under his command. He wanted to prove that by building a better bridge than Saito's men could build, the British soldier is a superior being even when they were prisoners. As the bridge goes up, Nicholson becomes obsessed with completing it to perfection, eventually losing sight of the fact that it will only benefit the Japanese. Do they complete the bridge, or will someone amongst the Brits come to their senses and destroy the perfect bridge? Only one way to find out. Watch the movie. It was filmed in Ceylon, which is now known as Sri Lanka. The Bridge on the River Kwai won 7 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Director for the legendary British filmmaker David Lean, and Best Actor for Alec Guinness. It also won Best Screenplay for Pierre Boulle, the author of the novel on which the film was based, even though the actual co-writers were blacklisted. Those writers were Carl Foreman and Michael Wilson, who were given their Oscars under the table. They weren't even there to receive the awards, as they were in Europe at that time. Now, I'm sure you're curious to know why they were blacklisted. Well, Foreman and Wilson, like dozens of other actors and screenwriters, both men had been members of the Communist Party. You see, between 1947 and 1957, several hundred actors, writers and directors had been put on the blacklist circulated by Hollywood studios in response to pressure from Congress during the height of the Cold War. Speaking of Japanese war movies, Akira Kurosawa, one of my favorite directors, has a take on a Shakespeare play. Yeah, a Shakespeare play. Ran, or is it pronounced Ran, is Kurosawa's reinterpretation of William Shakespeare's King Lear. The Lear counterpart is an elderly 16th century warlord, Tatsuya Nakadai, who announces that he's about to divide his kingdom equally among his three sons. However, he falls prey to the false flattery of his sons, Akira and Jinpachi, while banishing his youngest son, Daisuke, the only member of the family who loves him enough to tell him the truth. Now, because of his foolish pride, his domain collapses under his own weight as the sons battle each other over total control. This is Kurosawa's first film in 5 years, but Ran, had been in the planning stages twice that long. Kurosawa had storyboarded the project with a series of vivid color paintings that have been published in a book form in England. How cool is that, yeah? In the movie, the battle scenes are staged brutally. Now, it's hard to imagine that the director was 75 years old at that time. This 160-minute epic won several international awards. However, it wasn't a hit in Japan. As the saying goes, a prophet is never recognized in his own land. And because of that, it took more than 5 years before Kurosawa would be able to finance another movie. Coming up, more war movies on Movie Magic, Money FM 89.3. But for now, as promised, here's Cavatina from the movie The Deer Hunter. Thank you. was Cavatina, a classical piece written by British composer Stanley Myers, and that was actually written for the movie The Walking Stick back in 1970, but it was popularized as a theme from The Deer Hunter some 8 years later by classical guitarist John Williams. Now, not to be mistaken for the other John Williams who wrote the theme for Star Wars and Indiana Jones. Well, that John Williams is American, while the classical guitarist John Williams is Australian. I'm Colin Gomez, and if you want to listen to past Movie Magic shows, all you have to do is log on to Money FM's podcast page. It's all there. Right now, you're listening to part two of some of my favorite war movies. Another Vietnam War movie that is worth watching is Apocalypse Now. Now, here's how I would describe the movie in two words. Primal madness. That's what the war did to the soldiers as shown in this movie. Martin Sheen, who is only a captain, is already on the edge, and he's assigned to find and deal with an AWOL colonel played by a bald-headed, scary-looking Marlon Brando, rumored to be hiding in a Cambodian jungle as a local lethal godhead. Robert Duvall is in this movie too. You know, Francis Ford Coppola went through a lot in this movie. He tried several different endings between the film's early rough cut screenings for, you know, the press and many people. And during production, it was also chaotic for him as he experienced shutdowns when a typhoon destroyed the set. And then Martin Sheen suffered a heart attack. The budget ballooned and Coppola had to cover the rest himself. Can you imagine covering the cost? That would be millions. Coppola characterized these production headaches as being like in the Vietnam War itself, and had been superbly captured in the documentary titled Hearts of Darkness, A Filmmaker's Apocalypse. Now, if you're a film student in a polytechnic, for example, this is a must-watch. Despite the studio's fears and mixed reviews of the film's ending, Apocalypse Now became a substantial hit and was nominated for 8 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Supporting Actor for Duvall's psychotic character, Kilgore, and Best Screenplay. It won Oscars for sound and cinematography. I have the box set DVD, and it's one of those movies that you'll want to watch, you know, every now and then.
Movie Magic with Colin Gomez, Money FM 89.3.
Another war movie with brilliant performances and cinematography is Lawrence of Arabia. This movie happens during World War I as seen through the eyes of Lawrence, played by Peter O'Toole, in the role that made him a star. In the movie, we flash back to Cairo, back in the year 1917. A bored general, Lawrence, talks his way into a transfer to Arabia. Once in the desert, he befriends Sharif Ali Ben Al-Kashish, played by Omar Sharif, who makes one of the most spectacular entrances in movie history. Again, if you're a film student, you have to take note of this. It also stars Sir Alec Guinness as the Prince and Anthony Quinn as Uda Abu Tayyi. It took 2 years to film this movie, and because of that, you'd be able to see Peter O'Toole's weight fluctuate from scene to scene. It was filmed in Spain and Jordan, and it ended up costing a staggering $13 million. You know, big money back then again. And this was back in the 60s, early 60s. It won 7 Academy Awards, including Best Picture and Best Director for David Lean. The film was released in 1962, and that was the first and last time the director's cut was viewed as a premiere. 20 minutes were edited from the film's general release and 15 more from the 1971 reissue. The abbreviated version was all that was available for public exhibition until a massive 1989 restoration at 216 minutes that returned several of David Lean's favorite scenes while removing other scenes, which he wasn't really satisfied with. Christopher Nolan, however, is very satisfied for how his movie Dunkirk turned out to be. The fear in the soldiers' eyes as they were being attacked on the beach is so realistic. I wonder what Christopher Nolan did to get everyone to react the same way. It's just movie magic, I would say. It's a fictional story based on true events during the war. The Battle of Dunkirk was fought in Dunkirk, France, during the Second World War between the Allies and Nazi Germany. As the Allies were losing the Battle of France on the Western Front, The Battle of Dunkirk was the defense and evacuation to the British soldiers and other Allied forces in Europe from 26 May to 4th June 1940. Now, British actor Tom Hardy plays a fighter pilot and acts only with his eyes as his mouth is covered throughout the movie. Well, except for the last part. A role he's very good at because we've seen him act with his eyes in Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight Rises as Bane.
Money FM 89.3.
Now, not all war movies need to be serious with frightening explosions, bullets and blood. There are some comedic ones too. For example, Doctor Strangelove or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. Yes, that's the full title of the movie. It's very long. Stanley Kubrick dared to make a film about what could happen if the wrong person pushed the wrong button. And this was, you know, during the time when the Cold War was happening. It was also during the time during the Cuban Missile Crisis and the relatively new and frightening hydrogen bomb. Peter Sellers is Dr. Strangelove, so you can imagine how funny this movie is. Other favorite funny war movies of mine are Three Kings. Now, this is the aftermath of the Gulf War, where four soldiers set out to steal gold that was stolen from Kuwait. It stars George Clooney, Mark Wahlberg, Ice Cube, and Spike Jonze. Then, of course, there was MASH in 1970, and that same year, Kelly's Heroes as well. Oh, Stripes is also a good comedy movie to watch, but among all my favorite comedy war movies, Good Morning Vietnam is one of my all-time favorite. Maybe because I can relate to it, you know, being behind the microphone instead of behind a gun. Not that I don't know how to use a gun. You know, I do know how to use a gun because of my training when I was in national service. But if you ask me honestly, I rather shoot with a camera. I'm Colin Gomez, and you've been listening to Movie Magic on Money FM 89.3. And I'm going to play you some clips that I put together from the movie Good Morning Vietnam. This is Robin Williams doing his stuff.
Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. Great Britain recognized the island state of Singapore. How do you recognize an island? You go, hey, wait, no, don't tell me. Wait. Didn't we meet last year at the Feynman Bar Mitzvah? You look a lot like Hawaii. Didn't we meet last year at the Peninsula Club? Okay, we're going to hit some songs at you right now. Coming your way.
Round, round, get around.
I get around.
Yeah,
get around, round, round. I get around.
I get around.
Where the kids are hip. My buddies and me, you're getting real well known. Yeah, the bad guys know us and they leave us alone.
I get around.
Never been beat, and we've never missed yet with the girls we meet. None of the guys go steady, cause it wouldn't be right to leave the best girl home on a Saturday night.
I get around.
Get around,
I get around,
yeah,
get around,
round.